What's up, guys? Today on Sports Spectrum, we get a chance to talk to Tony Dungy, legendary Pro Football Hall of Fame coach. He's been on this show many times. I never say no when the opportunity arises for us to talk to Coach Tony Dungy. You know him from NBC Sports, Pro Football Hall of Fame coach, Indianapolis Colts Super Bowl champion, the first African-American coach ever to win a Super Bowl in the NFL. And today, it's just as good as those other conversations with Coach Dungy. We get to talk about his favorite moment from the Super Bowl. And of course, it has to do with his faith in Jesus. I also wanted to ask him, because I've interviewed him many times, and never asked him the experience of playing and winning a Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers when he was a player back in 1978. In January of 79, they played in Super Bowl 13 against the Dallas Cowboys with one of the great collections of talent you'll ever see in a Super Bowl. And Coach Dungy played in that game as well. So lots of good stuff here from Tony Dungy. He was in Minneapolis being a part of the Arise with the Guys conference that Sports Spectrum was a part of just a couple of weeks ago. And this was our chance to sit down with him. Very excited about this conversation. First, I want to remind you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. We gave out a bunch of these magazines at the Arise with the Guys conference, and you can subscribe right now to the Sports Spectrum magazine. It's a one-year subscription. It's super affordable, $24 for a one-year subscription. And if you sign up right now at sportspectrum.com, you can use a special podcast code, 15% off, when you use the code podcast15, podcast15, and you check out, you get a little discount off of the already affordable price for the Sports Spectrum magazine. It's 1 year, 4 issues, quarterly magazine, faith-filled, family-friendly, clean content. I think you'll love it. Go check it out and sign up today at sportspectrum.com. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Sports Spectrum. It's always great when we can meet our friend Tony Dungy here at Arise with the Guys in Minneapolis. Hi, Coach.
How you doing, Jason? Thank you for coming back, too. This is just a wonderful, exciting time and just awesome.
So. Yeah, it was great to be at the Uncommon Award dinner last night, and I want to start with that because I know that word means so much to you, uncommon, but that award means so much to you. And this year, our friend Matthew Slater, the longtime New England Patriot, now recently retired, 10-time Pro Bowler, All-Pro, he received the award. Tell me about Matthew Slater and why he was the perfect recipient for this award.
Yes, this Uncommon Award, we always want to honor someone in the sports industry, player, coach. We've honored James Brown as a broadcaster, but someone who does it in a way that is not just great on the field or great in their area, but who really goes out of their way to honor the Lord and, you know, help their community. And Matthew Slater, he probably defines the word uncommon. A wide receiver who played 16 years, only caught one pass in 16 years, but was one of the most valuable players on the team, became a leader early on. I think his third year, he's elected captain, and they've got, you know, Tom Brady and, you know, all of these great, great players. And his teammates said, this is a guy who's leading us. And he is just a special young man. So we thought that with him capping off that career and retiring, this was the perfect time to honor him.
It's amazing, right? One catch in his entire career, and yet there's a very good chance he's going to join you in Canton, Ohio.
Yes, and you could go 10, 11, 12 years, and you ask Coach Belichick, rank the guys that you cannot afford to lose on this team, and Tom Brady would probably be number one. There were years where he would have said Matthew Slater's number two. And just because not only his production on the field on special teams, but his attitude, his leadership in the locker room, mentoring the young guys, telling everybody this is what it means to be a New England Patriot. This is how we do things, and setting that bar very, very high.
The theme, obviously not just uncommon, but it was kind of having an uncommon presence about yourself. What does that mean to you? You were asking that question last night to others, but I want to ask it to you.
Uncommon presence to me is two things. It is understanding that the Holy Spirit and Jesus are inside of us. And so everywhere I go, no matter what I do, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, in the neighborhood, wherever, I've got Jesus walking with me, and I've got to let that shine. And then the second part of it is, what kind of presence am I going to be? What kind of presence am I going to have? And I want to be that uncommon person that doesn't just follow the crowd, that kind of suggests we need to make sure we're doing things the right way, and honoring the Lord and making a difference. It's easy to blend in and be part of the crowd and just say, you know, I'm there. But are you really making a difference with what you do, what you say, how you act? And that's uncommon these days.
Where did you really start to understand that you could live an uncommon life and honor Christ in sports, in football?
It came from my parents, and they were that way. They talked about being who we are and representing the Dungy family and doing things the way that we were taught, no matter what, no matter where. So as a young person, you get that, and that's not easy when you're 10, 11, 15. You want to just fit in and be well-liked, but that was their message. And then I got to the Pittsburgh Steelers as a 21-year-old rookie, and Art Rooney Sr. was our owner. And when, as a rookie, when you made the team, Mr. Rooney invited you in and said, congratulations. But then he said something that was really unique. He said, you're a Steeler now, and we have high expectations of you. You're going to represent our family. You're going to represent the football team. You're going to represent the city. And we want you to represent it the right way. And because whenever you do anything from now on, it's not going to be Tony Dungy, but it's going to be Pittsburgh Steeler Tony Dungy or former Pittsburgh Steeler Tony Dungy. So that's a responsibility. And we expect you to do that really well. And then a couple of years after that, we had a chapel service, and Tony Evans was our chapel speaker. Yeah. And he talked about being a Christian all the time. He said, I've got to be a Christian when I'm at home. I'm a Christian dad. And when I go to the grocery store, I'm a Christian consumer. And he went on and on. He said, I'm a Christian all the time. How about you? Are you a Christian all the time? And I thought about that. I said, man, that's my parents, that's Mr. Rooney, so I want to represent my mom and dad, I want to represent the Steelers, but even more than that, I want to represent Christ, so I better think about what kind of presence I'm going to have.
That's wonderful. Okay, so you segue this perfect, because you're a professional broadcaster. So the Pittsburgh Steelers, this is what I wanted to talk to you about, because we've gotten to talk to each other, I would say, a good handful of times on this show, and I've never asked you about Super Bowl 13. So I'm an NFL Films Super Bowl historian junkie, and I was telling my colleague John this morning, I said, I can't wait to ask Coach Dungy, because to me, I think it's the greatest collection of Hall of Fame athletes in one game that I've ever seen. I'll just go through a few of the names. You'll probably fill in the rest, but we had Terry Bradshaw, Lynn Swann, John Stallworth, Franco Harris, Rocky Blyer, Jack Lambert, Jack Ham, Donnie Shell, Mel Blunt, Joe Green. How do I forget Mean Joe Green? And that's just the Steelers.
That's our side.
And then the Cowboys have Roger Staubach and Tony Dorsett and Randy White and Tony Hill and Drew Pearson and just so many big names. Ed Too Tall Jones. I've watched that game on NFL Films, on ESPN, on NFL Network hundreds of times. It's a great game, great collection of people. And you played in that game. And I'm just fascinated. What was that experience like? Because many called it the greatest Super Bowl ever at that point in the Orange Bowl.
It was a tremendous game. And as you mentioned, you run down all those players. I mean, Hall of Fame guys. At that point, Dallas had won two Super Bowls. Yeah. Pittsburgh had won two. And everybody is saying, you know, whoever wins this is going to be the team of the century. It was that type of buildup. Our guys were very, very confident. And we knew it was going to be a big game, but it was special. And we went back and forth. We got ahead. They came back, and we held on. But I tell you, my biggest memory of that game was the chapel service before the game. Doc Eshelman, who was a longtime, just great chaplain and spokesman for FCA and Athletes in Action. He did our service, and he said, people are talking about this game of the century, and everybody's going to watch, 100 million people. So, but at the end of the day, winning this game is not the most important thing. The most important thing is, do you know Christ, and where are you going for eternity? Because this game will be forgotten. As great as it is, it'll be forgotten soon. Yeah. We win the game. We come back in the locker room, and I'm just one of the bit players, so I'm sitting around, and Franco Harris and Bradshaw and Swan, they're all getting interviewed. And one of the first questions this guy asked was, hey, do you think you guys can repeat again next year? And I remember thinking, Doc Eshelman was right. Yeah, we won a game, and it's supposed to be the game of the century. And 15 minutes later, they're talking about next year. So it was a great lesson.
How many people, players, would attend a chapel in the 70s with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I tell you what, when I got there as a rookie, my roommate was Donnie Shell, great player, Hall of Fame, strong safety. And I'm a rookie, and he says, hey, we've got Bible study after the evening meetings. You need to come and be there. So I come in, and there's 25 guys in there. And it is unbelievable. But these were my heroes, and I'm thinking, this is the big, bad, steel curtain, rough, tough guys. But it's, you know, Joe Green is in there, and J.T. Thomas, and John Stallworth, and John Kolb, and Larry Brown, and Lauren Taves, and Mike Webster, and they're all in there, and they're studying the Word, and the chaplain is leading us through it, and they got the message across to me that, yeah, playing in the NFL is great, winning Super Bowls is great, that's why we're here, but now it's not the most important thing.
That's awesome. He's Coach Dungy. He's joining us here on Sports Spectrum. A couple more questions. I wanted to ask you about prayer during your coaching career, whether it was as an assistant. You were assistant here in Minnesota, obviously head coach with Tampa Bay and Indianapolis. What was prayer and the importance of prayer like for you as a coach in the job, the very stressful job that you had?
I really was taught that you pray about everything, and I certainly did. And I prayed about our team. I prayed about my role on the team, decision-making. I can remember big decisions in the draft, praying about it, and Lord, direct us to the right guy, and praying on the field at certain times. Hey, I don't know what to do, Lord. Give me the quick thought. Hey, should we kick this ball or go for it on fourth down? But I believed about praying about everything, and got that message across to our players as well.
How is that received? It feels like to me, just in society, that prayer can be superficial in some ways, and just saying it, hey, I'm going to pray for you, or sending my thoughts and prayers. But when you tell somebody you're actually going to pray for them, or even when you actually pray for them, and I saw you praying with a few guys last night, I don't feel like that's, even if you're not a Christian, like that's not, people like that, I feel like, right?
People do. And when I became the head coach of the Bucks, I told our team, we're going to have prayer, you know, a lot, and where our chaplain's going to be involved, but we are going to pray before the game and after the game. It's strictly voluntary, but, you know, that's what we're going to do. I had one player in 13 years say he didn't want to pray. Everyone else took advantage of it. And a great story, we did it for 6 years in Tampa before and after every game. So my first year in Indianapolis, the first game we're playing, and that night I get a call from Derek Brooks. And Derek said, hey, we played our game, had our first game. Coach Gruden gave the pregame speech. We're ready to go out on the field. And Warren Sapp stood up and said, hey, we have prayed before every game for 6 years. Somebody's going to pray now before we go out this door. And that was one of the most gratifying moments of my career.
A legacy, right? Like, even though you weren't there, and obviously it was a little messy when you were let go, but that's a legacy. And it's almost like, you know, that piece of scripture that talks about, you know, some of us plant seed, some of us water, and the Lord is the one who takes care of it. And that was a great example there.
It really was. And then we had another moment like that 4 years later. We're at Super Bowl 41, we win, and you know how it is, after most games you have a 10-minute period where nobody can come in the locker room, and that's when we would say our prayer. Well, at the Super Bowl, everybody's in there. It's just a madcap thing. And Cato June came up to me and said, Coach, we haven't said our prayer. And we ask everybody, just hold on, stop your interviews, stop everything. And the whole team prayed, and that picture went viral. But that was our players. This is our routine. This is what we do, and we don't care who's in this locker room. We're going to do what we do.
It has to make you feel good, too, to see former players who have grown in their faith, and they're being bold, and they're out there sharing about Jesus. That has to make you feel good.
It really does. That's what it's all about. And when you have young men do that and really not hesitant to share who they are and what it's all about and what's important, and be at events like this, Arise with the Guys, that's what you want as a head coach.
What are you learning from God right now? This is my last question, right? Like, where you are today, we still watch you on Sunday Night Football, see you out there. I wanted to ask you about the Easter service at Raymond James. Like, that was incredible. Your son going to play at Butler football this fall, which we documented on sportspectrum.com. But what's God kind of been showing you and teaching you right now?
I think that's it, to remain confident. I'm really concerned for our country, the direction we're going, and it seems like every time I pray, Lord, you know, help us, guide this country, get us back on the right track, things like that will happen. 30,000 people at Raymond James Stadium for Easter, or my son saying, yeah, the most important thing for me is I'm going to grow spiritually when I go to college. That reinforces it and makes you feel like, okay, God is listening. He is hearing me. But he's saying to me, we've got a job to do. And you're going to be one of those spokesmen, so make sure you speak for me. And that's what I'm trying to do.
And many thanks to Tony Dungy for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. He's fabulous. He's tremendous. He's awesome. Anytime he's available, I'm saying yes. That's who Coach Dungy is. He's one of the great people you will ever meet in the world of sports, or even outside of the world of sports. The man loves Jesus. The man is unashamed for his faith, but the man is a gentle giant who leads in a beautiful way by serving others, but he's never ashamed of his faith. He doesn't compromise his faith. I want to be like Coach Dungy when I grow up, and I want more Coach Dungys in my life, and I want more Coach Dungys out there sharing the gospel and leading in the different spheres of influence that he leads in. He's the best, and we appreciate Coach Tony Dungy for being here today on Sports Spectrum. We thank you for tuning in as well. We love you guys. We really do. We thank you for investing into Sports Spectrum. The best way that you can be an ambassador for us, I'm not going to ask you for any money or anything like that, but simply tell others about Sports Spectrum. Share this podcast. Share any articles or devotionals that you see on our website, on your social media pages. All of that helps get the word out, with the ultimate goal at Sports Spectrum to point people to Jesus, not to point people to Sports Spectrum or to point people to Tony Dungy or even myself. It's to point people to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Savior, Jesus Christ. So we love you guys. Again, we appreciate you, and we thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time with another conversation here on the show. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of your day.